Marisa Torah, Perik Yud Aleph Seif Vav, page Samach Zayin. A number of times in Marisa Torah of Cook talks about the unique Koyach of Torah to restore the Yashvus to a person's life. Sof kol sof, the Torah is Dvar Hashem, and the Torah is perfect, and it's a piece of Shemaim that the Baruch Shalom gave us, through which we are able to straighten ourselves out by aligning our lives with the Dvar Hashem. So when you have something perfect to measure the world by, we're able to come back to a certain yashus. Like if somebody has to make something straight, so they take the ruler, and they're able to see that this is yashus, and I have to be able to return to this yashus, and the only way that I could do that is by measuring myself using the ultimate, absolute yashus of Torah Hashem. Through Torah, a person is able to return to the Yaisha Eloki, and then by coming into contact, not just by a little bit, but by immersing oneself in the Yaisha Eloki, in that absolute straightness, in that absolute emes, by the person doing that, then he's able to return to his day-to-day life and to evaluate the regular things in life by the measuring rod, by that ruler of the Yoshe HaElokei. Obviously a person can sit and learn all day and he doesn't think about it, he just walks away from the Sefer and goes into his routine of life, and one has nothing to do with the other. That's very sad. But the ideal is this way of life. So if Cook writes, HaTorah is a keches es hamidus. Peit Samach Zayin, Ivav. The Torah refines the midus. HaTorah is a keches es hamidus. And all physical and spiritual, emotional characteristics, even physical things. Were we to live 100% according to the Torah, we'd be healthier. We would be on a very simple level. Just in Gashmias, we'd have much healthier lives. As far as how we eat and how we sleep, and the amount of time we put into work, and so on. If we would align ourselves with that Yoshe HaElokei, with that absolute standard of Yoshe HaElokei, even physically, we would be better off. If you have a person that, lo aleinu, not because of any inherent, deep-seated problem with metabolism or whatever it might be. If you have a person that just lets go of himself or herself and is eating in a very unhealthy way and is destroying his or her life by being overweight, and it affects everything, so then that person is not living in the Yoshe HaElokei, even on the most basic level of his physical existence. The Torah doesn't want us to live that way. The Torah doesn't want us to let go of ourselves in such a way. It's not the way of the Torah. Hashem Shabbat created the body and he wants us to take care of the body. So even the tchunas hagufonis v'anafshis, physical characteristics, qualities, emotional, spiritual, Because through learning Torah intensely, all the nafshis, all of who I am, is sort of rolled up and brought back to the Eitzer Chaim from where it came. We all come from the Torah. We're all letters in the Torah. We all come from the Torah. We wandered away from the Torah. Through Eisak HaTorah, Miskapeles Kol Hanafshi is Kula, La'itzer Chaim, Shemakar HaYeshua Chai Eloki. All of the Nafshis, all of who we are, is Miskapeles, like folds and returns, becomes like in a ball, and it all returns to the treasure of life, which is the Makor HaYeshua Chai Eloki. That Makor of Yosher, living Yosher HaChai Eloki, absolute perfection, Yosher HaChai Eloki, that is alive. One goes back to the beginning, to the Shorash of who one is. Now that Makor HaYosher HaChai Eloki Shu Shorash HaTorah, which is the root of the Torah, that's where the Torah comes from. HaYeshua Chai HaEloki. VaYidei Shehiyosam Shel HaAnofim B'Mekayrim HaElyayim. And when the branches are able to spend some time back home in the Mekar HaElyayim, in the root and the source of their existence, Koinim Heim Sham Es HaTeva HaElyayim VaKadosh, they're able to acquire or to strengthen their connection to the Teva HaElyon, to that great exalted nature that is Elyon, the Kodesh and Holy, Shel Atzmiyusam, the Atzmiyus of the Anavim. I'll explain this more in a second. Al Pi Yisoid Mekam HaElyon, according to the Yisoid of the godly root from where they come. To try to translate this into mortal language, let's say a person goes up in a home. Every home has its own language, its own culture, its own ideology. Every home is a world. So a person goes up in that home, and then the person leaves and raises his own family. Now the child of that home is himself an anaf, a branch. He's an anaf, and then his children are anafim that have grown further away, outgrowths of that original home. In the process of growing, and the process of branching out, something is lost. That's natural, that's how life is. Something is lost. There's a strong resemblance to the point of origin, of where everything came from, to the Shirish. But along the way, as a result of moving out and moving on, the original, the Makar, becomes dimmed, becomes weaker. One of the most one of the most exciting, reassuring experiences of a person in life is to return to the Shayrish, is to go back home. Now, for some people that's horrible, obviously. If they come from a place that was miserable, then the last thing you want to do is to go back to the miserable place. And they'd be best to move on. There are, unfortunately, situations like that. I'm not talking about, God forbid, such a thing. But when the Shayrish was a healthy, real, strong and good Shayrish, then when you return, when the anaf, when the branch goes and is able to be miskapel, sort of fold back into the Shayrish and to return for a visit to the Shayrish, you can't stay. Although sometimes kids think that they can. But well, when you go and you visit the Shayrish, you are reinvigorated. You are reinvigorated by that remembrance of who you really are. That can cause complications. Again, every home is different. And sometimes going back can set everything off, can turn everything sour, and can bring you to a place that's not healthy. I'm not talking about chas v'chalila. I'm only using this as a mashal. But in the mashal, under the best circumstances, to be able to go back home and spend some time, then when the anaf returns, leaves the Shayrish and returns back to the world of the anafim, of the branches, it's reinvigorated with the light of the makar, with the sense of who I am. And with that, reinvigorated and refreshed sense of who I am, I can give much, much more to the new anafim that are growing. I have much more to give. Because it's natural that as one grows further from the Shayrish, further from the Makar, you pick up things along the way. Like by the time the water gets into hourglass, it could be it's not so drinkable. That's why everybody's spending money on buying fancy water that they put in with a hose in the factory from the same place that we get in the sink. But people spending money on water because they know that somewhere along the way, this water, the water that you get in the regular city water, that the water, it got very far from its Shayrish. And when it got far from its Shayrish, in the world of Anafim, it met all kinds of funny strangers and things, bacteria and germs and who knows what. So then the waters are all advertising, the bottled waters are all advertising, this is the Shayrish. We come from the Shayrish. I don't know why. Why Poland has such chashev water? It doesn't come from Poland, which is good. It doesn't come from Poland. But I don't know. They're much fancier brands than that. Someone's telling me how much they spent on water. I don't know. Yeah, a bottle of water. I still haven't come to terms with any of that. But the understanding is that in its journey from where it came from, it picked up a lot of stuff and it came out and forgot what it is, that it's water. Going back to the Shayrish, which is the Indian of Shemitah and of Yovel, who cross them and draw, the freedom that comes with that, and Tashuvu Ish El Achuzoso, V'Ish El Mishpachto, to return to your Achuza, to your place, and to return to your Mishpacha, enables you afterwards to come back to the world of the anafim, of the branches, to come back with a better sense of who you are, and being once again in a place of that yashrus, that straightness, that vision of straightness that you had originally when you were there, but got somewhat lost along the way. So we have the opportunity to learn Torah every day of our lives. And every time we learn Torah seriously, we are able to take ourselves and roll up ourselves to go back to the Eitzer HaChayim, to go back to that Makor HaYesha HaChayi Elokishu Sherish HaTorah, to the Bari Olam Kivyachal, was the Sherish HaTorah. It's the closest we can get. And Vayidei Shehiyosim Shal HaAnofim B'Makorim HaElyon, and by the Anofim, by the branches, spending some time, that's us, in our daily lives, going back and spending some time in the Makar HaElyon, in the Makar, in the home, in the root of our existence, Kainim Heim Sham, we're able to acquire, to reacquire, Es HaTever HaElyon VaKadosh, that great, higher, exalted Teva, Shal Atzmiyusam, of the Atzmiyus of who we are. Al Pi Yisoid Mekam HaElokei, which comes from the Yisoid of the Makar, the source of Elokus that we come from. A Goy doesn't have such a thing. There's no such thing. We're the only ones in the world who have this. Ve'achakach, and so that afterwards, v'shuvam l'espashit beguf, afterwards, when the anofim return to the place of his spashtus in the guf, in the body, and in life, so when the mind and the heart return from the experience of Torah back home with our Father, in the makor of who we are, and then the mind and the heart return to give life in a regular way to the body, by eating and sleeping and going to work and studying in school, so on and so forth. V'chake b'shuvam l'spashit beguf v'lifal l'spulas achayim, to be poel the normal activities of life. Harim shavim b'shefa rav shel atzilus v'adinus hayon, they return changed. They return filled with the shefa of atzilus, of nobility, of adinus elyon, of great exalted edelkeit, refinement. When the anafim come back from the visit in the shayrish, and they return to the activities of life, those activities of life will be conducted in a different way. How a person says good morning, how a person treats the other workers in the office, how you eat and how you live with other people and your relationships and so on. Everything should be ennobled and uplifted and elevated by the time that was spent in the Shoresh HaElokei, the Makar. And that Makar, HaElokei, everything should be different. Now again, if you get the kasha, what do you mean? The kasha is a big kasha. How come people are learning and they don't seem to be any different as a result of that? That's not a kasha on the Torah. That's a kasha on the person. And we've spoken a lot about that. That's not for now. We're talking about what should be happening in the life of a healthy, sincere Jew. Not the person who's disconnected and whose Torah learning is just some sort of a obligation or some intellectual thing. But when it's real Torah learning, which is Lishma, which the whole Sefer is based upon, and it began with learning Torah Lishma. So then when the Anafim come back from the experience of learning, and you know what? It doesn't even make a difference what you were learning. You could have been learning Bava Kamma, you could be learning Maral. I shouldn't say it doesn't make a difference. Of course, it is a difference if a person is learning Nigla and this. Of course, that makes a difference. But generally, you're spending good time back home with Avinu Shebishamayim, with the Seicha HaElokei, with Makar HaElokus, with Yoisha HaElokei. then when you come back to your day-to-day life and the activities of life, you measure the activities of life not by the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, not by what your neighbor does, what your neighbor says, what they say on the television or on the radio, but by the Makor HaEloki, by the Yosha HaEloki. What's considered honest? What does it mean to be honest? The Torah has a definition of honesty. You learn Chayshim Mishpat, and you learn to understand the Torah's definition of honesty. When you come back into the Anafim and the Pu'ul HaSachar and the activities of life, you measure your honesty not by the President of the United States, you understand? Who's a shakran? You measure your honesty by the dinim of Chayshim Mishpat, of what Halacha has defined as honesty. Not what the world says is honest, but how Halacha defines honesty. And you know what Halacha might say? Because the Yosher Aliki might say something like, give this person a compliment even though you don't believe in it, even though it's not true, but that's truth. According to the Torah, that's truth. Kala Noav Chsuda. Oh, it's Hashena Kala. Even though it's not true. You look at the Kala and it's an Abbas Rachmanis. But you say Kala Noav Chsuda. Hashena Kala. Because there's a truth that the Torah defines as being true. Now, without the world that doesn't have Torah would say you're a liar. But the Torah says you're telling the truth. So we have to align ourselves with the Yosher HaEloki. And the only way that we can align ourselves and define ourselves and to live our lives in the light of the Yosher HaEloki is through Esek HaTorah, is by learning Torah. It's not by guessing. Of course, when you spend time in the presence of a great person of Torah, that's very, very powerful. When you spend time in the presence of a person of Torah, because that person is the embodiment of the Torah. So when you have the schus to spend time with that person, to see, to watch that person, and then you're able to align yourself also by that Makor HaEloki that is embodied in that tzaddik or that great person. That's also Shimush Shel Torah. When you're with a great person, you're also studying Torah. When you study the actions of a great person, you're studying Torah as well. When you read about a tzaddik or tzaddikas, so then you're taking a little bit of a trip back home to the Makor HaEloki. So that when you return to your day-to-day life, hopefully there'll be a shefa rav shalatzilis nadinas, a shefa rav, a great, great Shefa of Atzilus, of nobility, and Adinus, and Edelkeit, that will come back to you and make a difference in the way that you're living your daily life. That's what Torah can do. It was programmed for that, and that's how the Torah can affect us. That's how it's supposed to work. When it's not working that way, it's not a problem with the Torah. It's a Shelo Baruch HaBetorah Tchila. There's something missing then in the person's relationship to the Torah. When a person's relationship to Torah is the way it's supposed to be, so the Torah does this. So the children return home. When you're learning Torah, we should imagine ourselves returning back to our father's home and breathing in that great truth of the Father. And then when you have to leave, you have to close the sefer and go and descend into the daily routine. The daily routine has become illuminated and elevated as a result of the trip back home. That's what it means to learn Torah. V'atotzos ha-maisiyos, the practical results. Hatotzos hamaisiyos. Vaha mahusiyais, both practically and internally. Mahus, of course, means its essence. Of the actions, of the practical day-to-day life of the person. Hatotzos amaisis vamahusiyais shulhan, mizbarchos umizadnais. Everything is blessed. Mizbarchos umizadnais, and again, made more edel, more adin. And as he often does at the end of a tirade, a cook just drops a bomb, a pasuk. And when you look at the pasuk, you say, why are you bringing that pasuk? Since he had complete mastery over all of Tanakh, and he could call up any pasuk that he wants at any time, why did you pick that pasuk? So he says, he brings the pasuk in Navi, in Yirmiyah, Halo kod dvarai ka'esh ne'um Hashem. All my words are like fire. Hashem says, Kod dvarai ka'esh ne'um Hashem. So, of course, Rav Kook is assuming that we know the end of the pasuk. Just like in the Gemara brings only half a pasuk. So now they have already, the Gemaras are all printed with the rest of the pasuk, because we don't remember the pasuk. Uchapatish yifoytetz self is the end of the pasuk. Halo kodrai ka'esh, my words are like fire. Hashem says, uchapatish, like a hammer, yifoytetz self, that shatters the rock, and the splinters of the rock, the pieces, fly off into a million places. Uchapatish yifoytetz self. And Rav Kook is also assuming that we know the Gemara Sanhedrin, which is brought down in the note, Lamed Daled Omer Aleph. The Gemara says over there, it's a famous Gemara, but the Gemara says, Ma patish zem is chalik lakam nitzaitis, just like when you hammer, then it's mischalik lakam nitzaitis. It goes off into many sparks, meaning either the pieces of the rock go to many places. Ma patish zem is chalik lakam nitzaitis, af mikra echad yoitze lakam atam. So too, one pasuk of Torah, when you learn one pasuk, it branches off to many, many things. When you're learning a pasuk of Torah, of Tanakh, when you learn a pasuk, it's kapatish yefaitet tzela, my words are like fire, like the sparks. Like imagine if you're hitting and the sparks come off of the rock or the metal, and the sparks go flying off. When you learn a pasuk, when you hit the pasuk with your learning, when you learn the pasuk, it's not just the meaning of the words, but it branches off to many other things. Many, 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 the Gemara says, many, many explanations, many deep meanings are found in one pasuk. So why does Rav Kook end the Torah with this pasuk? What are you saying? This is exactly what he was saying the whole time. The return of a person through Esek HaTorah, the return to the Esh, to the fire of the Shoresh, allows the person, after leaving the Torah, to have in every single action, activity of the day, have a spark of that fire. So that the anafim, instead of looking at ourselves as anafim from the shayrish, there is a model of us being branches that come from the tree, from the root of the tree, which is very, very wonderful, because there's always a connection, even though the branch is big and it goes far away from the shayrish, but there's also the model of nitzaitzeis ha'esh, the sparks of fire. The chiluk is that this spark is a lebedike mitzias. it's more leibedik, meaning each spark is mamish the shayrish, as opposed to the anaf, which is a watered down, dimmed version of the shayrish. The nitzaitz is a shtikfayim that goes into the anafim of one's life. One second, that goes into the outgrowths of life, into the simple activities of life, but it's with the nitzaitzes. So a pasuk of Torah, Hashem says, "Kadrakeish." When you're learning Torah, the Torah is like sparks that fly off. So that when you learn, then the rest of the day, there are sparks that have the ability to elevate every moment of the day, make it into something much higher than it would have normally been. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
In practical meaning, what does the Rebbe have in mind? He's talking about the system like a yafikalo, like taking off completely, immersing in.
No, a person to try every day to a kvizi.
He's talking about every day.
I think so. To be kvizi to me, he's not talking about.
He's
you know,
about
he wasn't.
Kvizi.
He was. Rav Kook was writing before that. Became an acceptable way of life for the multitudes of Am Yisrael. He's talking about putting aside time every day in Esek HaTorah. Obviously, the more one can, and if a person has the luxury of setting aside Yachei Kala to go and to sit for an extended period of time, it's that much better. You have a little bit more of an extended period of time that you can spend home, back in the Altaheim. That's better. But I don't think Rav Kook was thinking along those lines. He was writing, he was talking to us, and he was speaking about Jews who are working and Jews who are in school and are able to have every day to have some time to be Isaac, to go Isaac and Isaac and Torah. But that's what it means, I think. Halakod dvarai ke'esh, ne'um Hashem. Kod dvarai ke'esh, kefayim. Chapatish yifaytzeitz sela. So that in the life of the anafim, which means the everyday things that we're doing, there should be sparks of that limud haTorah that. So that when you're at business, if you're at work, and there's a possibility of something that's not 100% straight, that you are able to, at that moment, stop and to be in the makar hayosha ha'eloki, and not to succumb to the crookedness that's unfolding at that moment of the day, but to be in the place of yosha ha'eloki, to be faithful to your father, to your mother, to the home, to that truth. To that truth of where you come from. When parents don't provide for the children a place that is clear and that is healthy and that's filled with yosher and emes, so that obviously they're very, very handicapped. These children, as they grow up, are very handicapped. We have to daven that they have a Rebbe or a teacher or a friend, whatever it is, but it can't ever replace the home. So when a person comes from a home where this was not provided, it was a home of darkness, dishonesty, all kinds of twisted and perverted ways of thinking, if that's the shorish of a person, it's very, 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 very hard to be able to manage in the world of the Anafim. But since we're Yidden, since we're Jews, the Bo'er Olam is our father, and no matter how a person's house was not a home growing up, we have our father's home to return to, and that is primarily through Limud HaTorah. I was reading last week, and I think it was in the Hamadiyah, there was something about one of the great tzaddikim of Yerushalayim, Yisrael Mintzberg. He wrote Chulis, a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, a posek. The time of Reb Chaim Zonnefeld in Yerushalayim Shalmal, I didn't know anything about him. I have this svarim, I have some of his, we have a Sefer Sharis as well. He would have had many volumes of Sales and Shuvas, but they were, it was all destroyed. So we have just a little bit. I mean, it's around 500 pages, but it's a Sefer of some Shuvas. He's a genius of the highest order. I never knew anything about him. I never saw anything written up about him. And he has very chosh ve'enikluch in Yerushalayim now. So this Rav Mintzberg, it said, didn't say why this was. It just said that his mother died when he was little, and the father had to run away. The father had to run away from Poland. He had to escape Poland. It says that he came by himself when he was 6 years old. He went to Eretz Yisrael by himself. He managed to get to Eretz Yisrael. Which nowadays a kid can't get from his bedroom to the bathroom when he's 6 years old. I don't know, he got to Yerushalayim when he was 6 years old. He showed up in Yerushalayim, and there he had uncle and something, or grandfather, great. There he had Mishpacha. So I'm reading this and I'm thinking, how did this person grow up to be like a normal person? Forget about that he grew up to be such a tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham. How did he grow up to be a functioning, normal adult? It didn't say anything about his father, and I don't know like what happened over there. Like he left him by himself. He was abandoned as a child. That's what it sounds like. I don't know. I didn't see it any safer. Just in this article, I didn't check into it. But it sounds like he was just, sorry, I got to go. The mother died, and the father checked out. That's what it sounds like. And then he didn't have anything to do. He didn't know what to do. And he knew that he has family in Yerushalayim. He went 6 years old. He got to Yerushalayim when he was 6 years old. And not only was he a healthy person, but he was a tzaddik. I think that's bigger than the nice of Kriyas Yom Suf. That's a big nice person. I haven't read a story like that in a long time. I mean, I just don't know the pratum of it. I don't know where the person got it from. I don't know where it's from. But such an inyan where a person grows up in a vacuum, in an emptiness, and he throws himself into limud haTorah in such a way, where in the absence of having parents, ki ovi v'im yazavuni v'hashem yasveini, to connect on such a deep level to Torah, and to be able to draw from the Torah such a life of tzidkas and chasivus, it's very inspiring. But that's what the Torah can do for a person. Shouldn't God forbid, nobody should be in such a situation. Everybody should have good, healthy homes. But the Torah has such a kaya. The Torah, if a person enters into that place, into the makar of the Yoshua Eloki, he's able to overcome all of these things and to be a person like that. So Torah should never be seen as just some sort of intellectual undertaking that I'm learning something interesting that makes me smarter and more informed. It makes me, or even just think that it makes me be closer to Hashem. That's all true. But one should think of the act of learning Torah as returning to the Father's home, and to be refreshed. To be back in the place where I came from, and now leaving that home, my ancestral home, I could go back to the pulus of life, remembering the vision, remembering the godless, remembering the yosher, and to conduct myself in that in a different way in my life right now. That's the Inyan of Esek HaTorah. Zayin. Zechiras HaTorah mevi l'dei anav. remembering what one learns. Zachiras HaTorah, remembering Torah, Nevi'ila de Anava, it brings to humility. Ki simon legasas haruach, ani is the Torah. Brings the Gemara in Kedushin that the simon of gasas haruach, of conceit, of the opposite of Anava, a sign of gaiva, of gasas haruach, is poverty in Torah. Torah makes a person humble. Again, when it's learned Lishma. Because you have people, some of the biggest Balagaiva in the world are people that know a lot. Because they were learning to know, just to know, not to become tzaddikim. They were learning to know. So they stink from Gaiva. You have some Talmid Chacham that the stench of Gaiva that comes to them is sickening. When I say not Talmid Chacham, it's that the people who are knowledgeable in Torah, but they smell from Gaiva. But when Torah is learned, damis, lishma, Rav Kook says it's mevili the end of it. There's nothing that's as humbling in the world. You're backed by your father to see the truth and the vastness and the greatness of who the Baruch Shalom is and what his Torah is. Can there be anything more humbling than that? There's nothing in the world that's more humbling than that. Simply sitting down to learn a page of Gemara, or to sit down to learn a Chumash Rashi, just on the most basic level, should be something which is very, very humbling. And if a person walks away from the Blat Gemara or walks away from the Pasuk Chumash Rashi with Gaiva, means something's not working out right. It's not working out right. If you're with a person who's a Talmid Chacham, known as a Talmid Chacham, and he's oozing with Gaiva, it means it didn't work out. Something is terribly wrong there. Even though the guy could be a genius, something is terribly wrong. Somebody was just telling me, this Chassidish guy was telling me that he went to learn, he was applying to learn, he took a fehet to learn in a certain yeshiva, this years ago, and he's a Chassidish guy, very, very sweet, and he went to learn, he was going, because someone told him it would be to go learn this yeshiva, so he went to this yeshiva. And the Rosh Hashiva was fehering him, saw that he's a Chassidish guy. I mean, you could tell. So the Rosh Hashiva fehered him, and he told me that he did very well, and he's a very smart guy, he did very well in the feher. And the Rosh Hashiva said to him, "We would like to have you in the Shiva, but I want you to remember that I am a misnagid with a capital Mem." That's what he said. Misnagid with a capital Mem. So you know what he told him back? He was a bach. He said, "I'm a munkacha with a capital Mem, and I'm getting out of here. I don't want your yeshiva. Bye bye." So he told him, "Bye bye." He said the gaiva that was dripping from this, the way he spoke, with derision. You meet a bach comes to you. He does perfectly well in the feher. I want you to know I'm a misnagid with a capital Mem. Like, we're going to, over here, we'll teach you what it means to be a Jew. He says, "Munkach, capital Mem, bye-bye." I bet that the Baal Shem Tov had such nachas for me. It's a very bad thing when you meet the Talmid Chacham, like someone who knows, and he knows that he knows. He never knows as much as he thinks he knows, but even if he does know... Did you ever meet Rav Moshe Feinstein? You ever meet Rav Moshe? Right. Rav Moshe Feinstein, yeah, he was this full. Rav Moshe Feinstein, if you would use him as a stepladder, he would consider the biggest chus. He would say, "Step on me. I'm a misnagid with a capital Mem." Imagine Rav Moshe talking. How the true tzaddikim, the true Talmid Chacham are so humble. the masikas, the sweetness. When a person learns Torah Lishma, that's what it means. Dvarim Habe. It causes, and one of the things is anava, humility. Humility. The more Rav Moshe knew, the more humble he was. Remember Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? Similar gasas ruach, the Gemara says, Anias the Torah. It's a sign of being impoverished in Torah. That means you might know a lot, but you really didn't get it. You're impoverished. Anias the Torah. You never got it. Anova, the Gematria, Kuf Lamed Aleph. It's very rare that you see Rav Kook bringing Gematrias. Very rare. He wasn't into the whole Inyan. Anova is Gematria, Kuf Lamed Aleph. Humility. Anova, numerically, is 131. Kuf Lamed Aleph. Lamed Kuf Aleph. Lamed, the letter Lamed, Rav Kook says means Lilmod, learning Torah, Lamed, Limud. Lamed, the letter Lamed, means learning Torah, Lamed. Lamed, Limud, learning. Lamed, Kuf Aleph. Kuf Lamed Aleph has in it a Lamed, which means to learn. And it has Kuf Aleph. What's 101? Kuf Aleph is 101. The Gemara says you can't compare a person who learns, who reviews his learning 100 times to a person who reviews his learning 101 times. Well, there are many explanations that Tanya and others from why that is. The point that Rav Kook is making is that there is an inherent connection between learning, Lamed, and reviewing your learning, remembering so that you remember your learning, you remember your Torah. The Torah goes, it's not only when you learn Torah, but you remember the Torah when you go to work, and you remember the Torah when you go to school, you remember the Torah when you're in your house, when you're in the world of the branches. You remember your Torah, and what? Humility, another. As Gemara says, a person who chases his learning 101 times is a different world than a person who reviews it 100 times. The Tani says, but then when it was just Torah Shabbat Pram, they didn't have it in writing. Then, of course, it was the shear of 100 was the shear of real chazara. A person who went beyond his teva and chazed and reviewed 101 times came into the place of that world of remembering, which is also the malach of remembering. Yeah, it's not important for now, but he came to a place of remembering. If you remember the Torah that you learn, you'll be humble. But if you learn Torah and you close the sefer and you don't really remember it, he doesn't mean to remember what Tosfos said. To remember the time you spent in your father's house. If you remember that, then when you leave the sefer, you'll leave with humility. Meaning it will, as Rav Kook said in Vav, it will ennoble and elevate. Everything that you do will be coated with that remembrance of the time you spent in your father's house. The time that you spent in that place of the Yosha Ha'eloki. So Anov is the Gematria Kuf Lamed Aleph. Anov, humility, comes as a result of remembering one's learning. Lamed is to learn, Lilmod. Kuf Aleph is the 101 times that when if you review, it brings to remembering. It's a beautiful Ramaz that he says. Anov is the Gematria Kuf Lamed Aleph. Lamed, Kuf Aleph. A person who reviews his learning 101 times, he's in a place of remembering. When you remember your learning, you'll be humble. See, again, you can ask Kasha, what about a person who has a photographic memory and he's a Balgaiva? He doesn't remember his learning, he just remembers the Chomer that he learned. He remembers maybe what his father said, but he doesn't remember his father. There's a very big difference. Could be a person has a photographic memory, he's a big Balgaiva. But to remember your father and to remember and to be in the place of that connection with your father, that brings to humility. That's when you read Rav Moshe Feinstein's Hakdama to his to Igles Moshe, you see. Rav Moshe is on this, in the same Hakdama, Rav Moshe is explaining why, who am I that I should be a posek? Who am I that I should be putting out these shells and shuvas? Who am I? And Rav Moshe is explaining why he has the, why he feels that he has not only the right but the responsibility to put out these shells and shuvas to Paskin, to Klal Yisrael. In the very same introduction where he writes why he is empowered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to write shells and shuvas and halacha that it, for the entire world, he says that I'm nothing, nothing compared to my father, and I'm nobody and nothing. And it's not a steer. Rav Moshe accepted the achrayus and he knew what he was able to do. He remembered everything he learned. And the more that he learned and the more that he had to remember, the more humble he was. But that's what happens when you learn Torah Lishma. When you learn Torah that it's not Lishma, the more that you know, the bigger the gaiva, the bigger the yeshus. Which is a sickness that you see, unfortunately, in many places of B'nai Torah and Talmid Chacham. You see a certain gaiva that you don't see by simple people. So Talmid Chacham says, of course, because the simple person has nothing to be proud of, but I do. So you say, but simple Jews are so humble. If I'd be a simple Jew, I would also be humble. But I'm not simple. I'm a Talmid Chacham and I'm a Tzaddik. That's why I'm not humble. If I would be an idiot like you, I would also be humble. It's not chachma to be. It's not chachma to be humble. If I'd be you, I would also be humble. What do you have to be proud of then? But since I'm such a great Talmud Chacham and such a great tzaddik, it's very hard for me to be humble. It's a much greater challenge for me to be humble. For you, it's very easy to be humble. If I'd be you, I'd be more humble than you. If I'd be you. It sounds pretty sick, doesn't it? But there are a lot of people who walk around like that. They might not articulate it that way, but it's, as I said before, it's oozing from them. You say, but you're Talmid Chacham, you know so much. How come you're not humble? Where's the Anivus? Where's the Dvarim Harbe? Where's the Rav Moshe Feinstein? Where's the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? Where's the Chofetz Chaim? Where? What happened? You, when a person was by the Satmar, by the Klausenberger Rebbe, even though it was such a tekifus, they were so strong people, they were so humble. They were so humble. But Moshe also had a tekifus to him. In Halacha, he was a lion. He was a lion. But the same with Moshe Feinstein, when he came to Halacha, he was a lion. When he walked into the, like it says in the book, when he walked into his room, which was the only, at that time they put an air conditioner in the office, and he walked in, and there was some bacher. That Rav Moshe came into his office and there was a bachur that was sitting in Rav Moshe's chair with his feet up on Rav Moshe's desk. He went to the cool off. He thought the Rosh Yeshiva had left. And he went to Rav Moshe Feinstein's office and he was sitting back, you know, and he had his feet on Rav Moshe's desk. And Rav Moshe walked in. The guy's leaning back in Rav Moshe's office with his feet up on the desk, cooling off. Rav Moshe walked in and he says, "Oh, you're insulting." And Rav Moshe ran out. I'm sorry. And he ran out. Imagine nowadays that guy wouldn't be thrown out of that yeshiva and he'd never get into any other yeshiva. And Rav Moshe runs out, "I'm so sorry, I'm shoulder." You can't fake that. It was the metzias of the person was the anova, the humility, that the Torah made them into such great people. The Torah, because the Torah was lishma. And has learned with Amelis and the Doichak and Parvati and self-sacrifice, Mesiras Nefesh, and these people, that's the Anivus, the humility. They're nothing for themselves. Nothing for themselves. That they would be Makshiv Rav Moshe when he would speak to a little child. The child would come to ask him a question. It's not like you asking the Gadol Hadar. For this, you have to speak to the Gadol Hadar. Like the famous story with the Vilna Gaon and the Balagola, right? You know, when the Vilna Gaon, when he went into Galus, you know, he went also disguised as a plain person. So he went with the Balagola. He had a very funny wagon driver, the Vilna Gaon. And they were coming someplace. The wagon driver knew that this was the Vilna Gaon, but nobody else knew when they went places. So the wagon driver said, "My Rabbi, I have such a miserable life. I'm such a nobody. So maybe when we come to the next town, if we could say that I'm the Vilna Gaon." You know, he was right. Everybody knew the Vilna Gaon in the whole world, but they didn't know what he looked. They had no pictures. But if he said, "I'm the Vilna Gaon," so the Vilna Gaon said, "I'm asking. You said I'll be." Can you imagine? And the Vilna Gaon took the. They came to the town, and the Vilna Gaon took the thing on the horse, and he's driving, and this Balagola sits there. And he put on a nice hat or whatever, and he sits there, and the Vilna Gaon is riding the horse, and they come to the town, and they lift him up. The Vilna Gaon, they lift him up, and they bring him to the shul. But the only thing he wasn't expecting was what. All the Talmidei Chacham came there with their kashas. All the lamdim that they had, the kashas that they had learning for the last 50 years, they come. The Vilna Gaon is here. So the real Vilna Gaon is sitting in a corner, whatever, looking at a sefer, whatever, saying Tilim. The Vilna Gaon is sitting. And the Balagola is sitting over there. And all the lamdim are coming to him about the Tosfos here and the Rambam there. And for each person, he said, "For this you have to ask the Vilna Gaon? You could ask my wagon driver. The Vilna Gaon's Balagola knows how to answer these." So they all went to the Vilna Gaon's Balagola knows the answers. And they went to the Balagola, and the Vilna Gaon was answering all the... And then they said, "Can you imagine with the Vilna Gaon, even his Balagola?" It's called the Alamdin. Such a Alamdin. The Balagola of the Vilna Gaon. I don't know if this story is true, but it's very geschmack. It's probably not true. But it's very geschmack. Hashem Yisbarach should help that every word of Torah should bring us closer to Him, to our Father, and to be true and good and sweet and humble Jews.
Amen.